RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Okay, the riots in Britain. And we're going to hear about that from Kit Knightley, the editor of The Off Guardian. The Off Guardian was launched in February 2015 and takes its name from the fact its founders had all been censored and or banned from The Guardian's Comment is Free sections. Off Guardian's editors and admins are based in the US, UK and Europe, dedicated to open disclosure and free expression, and will often host articles on both sides of any particular issue. Kit is our regular UK correspondent, and he joins us now. And Kit, are you safe?
Yeah, we're all safe, pretty much.
Yeah. Amazing scenes have been coming through from the UK. I don't know if that's more an impression that's created just from, you know, the number of clips and what those clips show. Can you give us a kind of accurate take? Of course you can. On this, do we call it rioting, or is it something a bit different than rioting? Just rioting, isn't it?
Well, I would say, I mean, rioting is probably, I mean, considering the kind of rioting and the kind of protests we've seen recently with like lockdown protests and BLM riots and everything, I would say rioting is potentially a slightly grandiose term, to be honest.
Yeah. So is this the culmination of what? How many years of pent up frustration, anger, rage now, is it?
Yeah, but partially. It's also been sort of deliberately stoked recently to the point of like, well, I mean, if we go back to things I've talked about before, there's been a concerted effort to like stoke outrage on both sides of this issue at the moment. I mean, it built on the Southport incident where the three little girls were killed.
Yeah.
But just a couple of days before that, there'd been this very strange incident at Manchester Airport where a policeman was filmed stamping on a young Muslim man's head. And everybody was outraged about the police brutality. And then a couple of days later, CCTV footage showed of was leaked of the young man starting the fight by hitting a female police officer. Now,
Is that the one that got the broken nose, the woman?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you could argue, like, that was, like, each side was deliberately given their own, like, personalized rage bait so that each side would feel entitled to be angry. And this is kind of falling back on a model of stoking tensions between groups rather than making sure that the people at the top kind of don't take any hits for it. It's the constructed binary that we've been talking about on Off Guardian for a couple of years now.
So that was like a George Floyd kind of moment where it looked like something, but it wasn't quite that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That attack in Southport was just so mind-blowing, wasn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's one of those incidents where we don't know exactly what happened yet. And it's probably going to be subject to revisions and then inquiries. And until what the official story is comes out, I don't know what to think of it, to be honest. I do know that the rioting, for want of a better word, is already being used to push a very familiar, like, greater agenda. Like, everybody's talking about how this has all been stoked up by people being allowed to post up on Twitter and TikTok that they shouldn't be allowed to post, like incitement to riots and stuff. And so people want to enact like some sort of disinformation law or ban Twitter for a few weeks and that kind of thing. This pro-censorship stuff is always what people fall back on when this comes out.
I'm just thinking of some of the announcements. I'm thinking of the Prime Minister and others on media, mainly mainstream media, and casting anyone with a problem as far right. I think Tommy Robinson is, and his English Defence League or whatever it was of a decade ago is still active doing things. And I'm wondering, who do those people think they're actually talking to? Is there a base, a majority of citizens that they think they're talking to?
How do you mean exactly? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about what Keir Starmer has been saying about far right. And some of the politicians I've seen interviewed on some of the UK mainstream media, you know, they're talking about hooligans and they're talking about violence. They're talking all about this. The other impression is that, you know, the working class particularly are fed up with the cost of living, the per capita drop in their incomes because of the, I think, £8 billion is the bill for housing some of these people. And that somehow that they're a sort of a fringe. The politicians and the establishment are communicating to what they obviously think is a bigger audience or a mainstream audience. And I'm just wondering if that audience exists for them.
I think it's less about audience and more about the setting up of the opposing sides, like each side, like dishumaning or othering the other side. Like you have the right-wingers who talk about immigrants as if they're the cause of the problem and cast them all as, you know, freeloading potential terrorists, which obviously is a ridiculously broad stroke. But then you have the liberal politicians casting everybody that minds as Nazis. And so what you have are two camps designed and built up to see the other camp as somehow inhuman. Now, there is... The problem with illegal immigration has never been the illegal immigrants themselves. It's been the role they serve in the greater economy, which is to say to deliberately be brought in to undermine wages because non-citizens don't have the same rights. They don't have to be paid minimum wage. And so they flood the job market and bring wages down. This is not the immigrants' fault, but the companies don't want people to talk about that. The companies want to blame the immigrants for coming rather than blame them for deliberately constructing the situation where they come.
Right. How bad do you think it can get?
Oh, that's a question of how bad they want it to get. I mean,
okay, this is playing off. I get what you're saying. No one's on any side. The puppeteers aren't on any side as long as they've got two sides going off against each other.
Yeah, and the chaos is beneficial. But I mean, we've already had, I don't know if you saw, we already had a government advisor here, Lord Walney, come out and say, probably a bit too soon, he came out and said, oh, the rioting is out of control. We need a COVID-style response to these rioting. And I don't know exactly what he means by that. But, I mean, there's only a couple of things he can't. He certainly doesn't mean face masks, does he? He probably means lockdowns.
Yeah.
People have suggested curfews and that kind of thing. And that's obviously like the direction it's currently going in is like that kind of thing because they love doing that. And so the question is how much more they're going to stoke chaos before taking that kind of action or if they let it burn out and come back to it another time.
Because things do burn out, don't they, over time?
Hmm. Well, I mean, famously, it's said in this country that rioting stops when it starts to rain.
Okay. Yeah. Has it rained yet?
Not yet. But if there's just a big rainstorm, it just dampens everything out.
What about the police forces? Does anyone have any idea of how they're feeling being in the situation? Are they all woke or are they still, you know, traditional bobbies in there? Because they're crucial in this, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, I think possibly the most interesting and most useful aspect of this will be a reclamation of the police force as good guys. Because basically in this country, since lockdown, the police have not enjoyed a good reputation. You know, they're kind of seen as, you know, the foot soldiers of an overreaching government, which is exactly what they were. So like having like people attacking the police, people talk like insulting the police or throwing bricks at the police gives them a chance to be like our like nurses during lockdown, you know.
Yeah, singing for the
our
police.
Brave public servants, you know, won't you support them, wear a pin, wear a Twitter bio, who knows what they'll do. But that certainly is one aspect of what they're doing is appreciate your policeman type stuff.
Well, they'll do dances in the street for the police, like they did, or TikTok dances in the police stations, jail cells.
Do you remember the weird organized yoga music video they did in support of the Israeli hostages?
I'm not aware of that. No.
Oh, it was very very odd, but that's the kind of thing they're doing at the moment. And I don't know why, because it doesn't work on anybody. I don't know anybody that watched those dancing nurses and thought, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. How can I get with that? Some people are calling it the Farage riots, I see. So they've sort of turned guns on him too.
Well, I mean, that's all about the free speech thing. It's all about turning it into, like, if take the, like, even the most people be offering those mild criticism of immigration policy on Twitter will be branded as inciting riots. And that's less about the people themselves and more about the principle of setting up, like, controls on what you can and cannot say. I mean, we already have more people arrested in this country for things they've said on the internet than pretty much anywhere else in the world. I believe last year it was 3,000 or 4,000 people were arrested for things they posted on Facebook.
Wow. Okay.
Which there's a Russian comedian called Konstantin Kissin who pointed out that that's 10 times as many as were in Russia, where we talk about the no free speech in Russia. Yeah, the Online Harms Act is going to make that, which we passed quite recently, is potentially going to make that even worse. Police are called out for, like, offensive or potentially inciting Facebook posts a lot. And that's obviously dreadful.
It's incredible. You wouldn't believe it. So a lot of censorship to come, do you think?
Oh, I think that's more than anything else. That's the push behind us at the moment. I mean, so many people suddenly talking about the need to shut down social media, to regulate social media like we do. We have a thing in the UK called Ofcom, which is...
Yeah, I know about Ofcom.
I forget what it stands for.
We have the Broadcasting Standards Authority, which is the same thing. And they want to get their hands on people like us because we're not on air as such.
Exactly. And they want to start up the talk at the moment, which is starting up like an Ofcom office for social media so that Facebook and Twitter and everybody else have to report to the government, which they've been gunning for years. They desperately want to have that in place.
Isn't the new prime minister, he has a background in prosecution, doesn't he, for the state?
Yeah, he was the... I forget exactly what his job title was, but he worked for the CPS, the Crown Prosecution Service, yeah.
So he's one of them.
Oh, very much so. He's a knight. He's Sir Keir Starmer.
Yeah. Why does he make my skin crawl, or is it just me?
I don't know. I mean, they all do a bit. I don't know why he's a bad example. He just is. There's just something... He's sort of the British Trudeau in that regard. There's just something that's just slightly off about him, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I picked that up as well. What's this doing to media? Is there any obvious side being taken either side by media, or are they all... I mean, I've been curious about GB News. I've been watching a bit there. They seem to be as mainstream almost as the mainstream. And I thought they were supposed to be something a bit different. That's my impression.
Oh, very much so. GB News started a few years ago, and since they started, they've slowly, like, crept more towards the mainstream, and now they're very much sort of Britain's Fox News more than anything else. They still have some decent people on there, like Neil Oliver is on there, and I would listen to him because he's a reasonable guy a lot of the time, but very much like shock journalism, tabloid rubbish on GB News, to be honest. And debates about COVID that don't need to be had and stuff. Like,
where does it all end up, Kit? I mean, if this is sort of heading to something, when does something give, or will the people just sort of accept it and it becomes a new normal and everyone lives in basically a controlled, censored police state, the new Britain?
Well, I think... I'm not sure about where it ends up ultimately, but I think we're at an early stage of a plan. We've already had, like, just after the new government came in, they talked about a 20 billion shortfall in the budget they didn't know was there.
Right.
Then all this rioting happened, and that's what people are talking about now, instead of the fact they're obviously going to increase taxes potentially quite a lot, despite saying before the election they were going to. So this is a handy distraction for that. And if they do increase taxes a lot and people protest, well, then we'll have new legislation in place because of these protests to put it down.
Is part of
what's going to happen.
Incremental sort of moves here towards a goal.
Making sure, obviously, you have like the right, awful right-wing Nazis. So that's why you introduce the protests, because who's going to disagree with limiting what Nazis can do?
Yeah.
Right. And then when people like down the line protest about something reasonable, well, the new rules are already in place. So there's nothing you can do about it.
Starmer mentioned in one of his little speeches the use of facial recognition. So surveillance is a big deal, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's something they've been gunning for, to just introduce here and there a lot. I mean, it's all part of the bigger picture, the whole basically Orwellian shutdown of freedom in Britain is just as one of the worst places in the world for it at the moment. Australia and New Zealand and Canada led that way during COVID, but they've slowed down a little recently and the UK is running to catch up.
Ultimately, though, it feels like there is a degree of lockstep, you know, a flock of birds, one takes the lead for a while, then hangs back, and then the other one comes forward, but they all sort of kind of are in the group and they're all moving at about the same speed ultimately.
Yeah.
Will the people ever rise up against it once and for all? End game.
Well, I don't think rising up would be the victory, to be honest. I think we saw with COVID what the actual victory is, and it's not like mass action so much, it's mass disengagement. Like eventually they had their mask rules and they had their lockdown rules and they had their no socializing rules, but eventually after about a year people simply ignored them. And if the whole country just ignores it, there's not a lot they can do. They can't arrest everybody. They certainly can't, even if it's only 40, 50, 60% of the country is ignoring the rules. That's way too many to prosecute everybody. And I think that is a victory over this kind of thing, is that people simply don't pay any attention. They can say, oh, you're not allowed to travel. And if people travel anyway, what are they going to do about it? They can say, you can't drive your car, but I think that kind of passive individual protest on a massive scale is more likely. It's certainly more British, and it's probably more likely to win.
Do we know what the King thinks?
I have no idea, and I don't think it matters, to be honest.
Okay.
I doubt he has any say. I doubt he cares.
He doesn't care? Oh dear. Say, like, oh well, never mind. Camilla. I was just wondering that, you know, at some point does, you know, the head of state of the country come out and sort of, you know, make an announcement to the nation, you know? But I guess that's not his role.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Not anytime soon. Not unless things get really bad.
Has this done good business for The Off Guardian? Are you getting more readers coming in and checking the stories out? Is it driving new views? Just curious.
There's been a slight uptick the way there always is when there's like a more active news scene. I mean, I don't know if you experienced this in New Zealand or not, but in the Northern Hemisphere, we have what we call the silly season.
Yep.
For some reason, between July and August and early September, people tend to just disengage with the news and the news tends to lull. Obviously, it's not happened this year with the riots and everything, but that, for some reason, is generally the pattern, is that like the big news stories happen in the spring and the autumn and they go away during the summer.
Okay. Well, what does the weather forecast say, kid? Is it going to rain soon?
It actually already did rain. It's raining right now.
Okay, well, maybe that will quell things a bit then. We'll see. Very interesting times. Kit Knightley of Off Guardian, thanks for coming back on RCR, Kit. And we'll talk again in about a month or so. How about that?
Yeah, it's always fun.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.